Last night, we learned something about us and about God. And the night before, we learned something. I had a line that we were trying to memorize. So I'm going to see if we can just do both of those tonight. What we looked at Sunday night was, if you share Jesus when it's difficult for you, it is then that the picture of God is true. And last night, we looked at, it's not us that is great, it's the treasure of God in us that is great. So tonight we have an interesting story based upon the verses you've just learned. But before we go into it, I just like to, I always like to ask the Holy Spirit to speak through me. You pray. Father, we are thankful for the opportunity we have. We pray for your Holy Spirit to be with us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Either you pick up that shovel or my firing squad will shoot. William stood there and his hand was clenched around his shovel. He had refused the shovel, the dirt, because it was Sabbath. But he had been drafted into the U.S. Army in World War I. And now, for some reason, he was faced with a very difficult scenario. You see, the first Sabbath that he had been in the Army, he had got ready for church. And when there was this surprise inspection, one unusual person showed up in line, and that was him. He was all dressed for church. And the officer was so impressed, he said, "You have your day off." And he thought, "God, you've taken care of it for me." But now it's the next day, the next Sabbath, and nothing is happening. He is being troubled on every side. He looked at his commanding officer, his sergeant, and he said, "Sir, I cannot." And his officer got right up in his face, and I won't do it to you. I was thinking about it, but I won't do it. Got right in his face, and he said, "Shoot or shovel. What do you want?" And he stood there and he said, "Sir, shoot me if you must, but I will not work." The man was so mad at him, he said, "You are court-martialed. You need to be at the commanding officer's office at 1600 hours. And he left. And as he got back to the barracks while the rest of his unit was out working, he started thinking about everything that had happened to get him to this point. He had just got baptized maybe a year ago, and now the war had come. He thought he wasn't going to be in the war, but the United States had joined and didn't know what to do. And as sitting there just kind of reviewing his life, he kind of laid down. And as he did, his hand brushed something. He looked, and it was his Bible that he'd had there from his devotions. And he started looking through it, and he read about Daniel in the lion's den, and it was convicted, "You know what? I need your help, God." So he knelt down beside his bed as he started praying. William heard some angry voices coming towards the barracks. And he heard them saying, "Once we're done with his sand bath, he won't be sitting or standing for a week." There were some men who were about to come in, his fellow unit, who were going to take sand and rub it over him until his skin came off. They were very angry that he wasn't working while they had to. And he just knelt beside the bed there waiting for it to happen. The door came in. The door opened, the feet came in, and as he listened to what was happening, all of a sudden the voices that were angry switched to a whisper. And they turned and they tiptoed out of the barracks. And he thought, "You know, God, you have spared me this first one." He sat and he started reviewing why did he believe the way he did. And he got into the commanding officer's headquarters 15 minutes early. When he finally got into the commanding officer, he looked at me and said, "Sir, William," actually call him by his last name, "Cleveland, I heard that you caused some hassle and you refused to work when you were told to. Just tell me you're going to do exactly what you're told and I'm going to let it go. We're not going to cause you any problem." And William looked at him and he said, "Sir, I cannot say that. I will not work next Sabbath. From sundown Friday through sundown Saturday. And the commanding officer stood up, his face turned red. He said, "What are you talking about? This you must do." And he said, "I'm sorry, sir. It's not that I won't do it. I can't do it. My God told me I cannot." He was told that he had to meet 3 days later, and he's going to be brought in before an official team of whatever they call them, martial judges. And as he left, the commanding officer said, "Bring your Bible. That way we can see why you believe what you believe." When he got back, talked to the people, Cleveland, found out that the commanding officer had a servant in their house who was a Sabbath keeper and was the best servant they had ever had. And make a long story short, Cleveland was given Sabbath off for the rest of his time under that commanding officer's leadership. Was he perplexed on every, was he troubled on every side? Yes. Was he perplexed? Yes. I'd like to take just a little bit of time to review those two verses, and then we're going to look at what that leads to oftentimes. If you open up your Bibles with me, or you have your memory verse card, we are looking at 2 Corinthians, and we're looking at chapter 4. We will look at another passage, but not quite yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not what? Distressed. We are perplexed, but what? Not in despair. So where is the trouble that's being talked about in verse 8? Where is the trouble? Is the trouble 20 miles away? Is the trouble on this side and it's safe over here? Where's the trouble? The trouble is on how many sides? We are troubled on every side, yet not what? Have you ever been distressed when you have a little bit of trouble? Sometimes I have been. But Paul is saying that he and his friends, and I believe those of us who have the treasure of God in us, will have times where we're troubled on every side, and we cannot be distressed. That's good news. But that next part's a little hard for me to understand. We are, what's that next word? Perplexed. What does perplexed mean? Confused? Don't understand something? Have you been perplexed ever? Yes. Have you ever wondered why people do the things they do? Yes, you've been perplexed? Yes. Mystified, yes, that would definitely be a good word for perplexed. I have been mystified before. That doesn't make sense. Why would someone do that? Or maybe, why is God doing this? Have you ever asked why God's doing something? There have been times I said, "God, what are you doing? I don't understand." Paul says, "I understand. I felt that way too." We are perplexed. But what's that next description? Not in despair. I have found a lot of times when people get perplexed, they get in despair. They get mad at God. "God, how come?" I remember when I was younger, I got perplexion. I used to, some of you who have heard my story before, I ran away from home quite a few times when I was younger. I didn't know why things were happening in my home the way they were. Didn't make sense. In fact, sometimes I said things, "God, why did you give me a parent like? Why can't I have a parent like so-and-so? Why do I have to live in a home where this is happening?" I was perplexed, and I had despair. If you have it, I understand. But I believe Paul understands even more. He says that we can be perplexed and what? Not have despair. What is the purpose? Because quite frankly, if this is what happens when you have the treasure in you, I don't know how many people would sign up for it. Let's see. What's our description? Verse 8. We are troubled. We are perplexed. Verse 9 says we are persecuted. And verse 9 also says we are what? So who wants to sign up? Okay. So you read verse 10. Oh, no, you memorized verse 10. Okay, let's say verse 10 together. I'm going to read it. I have memorized it, but I found that reading it when I'm up front is helpful. But can you say it with me as I read it out loud? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be what? Made manifest in our body. What does the word manifest mean? Help me out. What does the word manifest mean? Yes. Make known. Okay, yes. Apparent. What's another word for apparent? Visible, yes. You were going to say that. Seen, yes. Clear. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, visible. That's right. And so this manifests, who's going to be manifest in our body? Who's going to be manifest in our body according to verse 10? Jesus will. In fact, it says the life of Jesus will be manifest. So you're telling me, no, I'm not telling you. The Bible's telling us, right? That sometimes when you go through persecution and you're cast down and you're perplexed and you are troubled, that's four things. Sometimes when you go through that, God can be seen in you if his treasure's in you. So the Bible says, how? They were an unlikely trio in some ways. You see, they were immigrants. They were in a country that was foreign to them, and life just wasn't easy. They believed in God, but the country they were in didn't believe in God the way they believed in God. In fact, the country they were in believed in many different gods. So they were in kind of an awkward situation. But it wasn't just that they were immigrants, and it wasn't just that they were having a country that had different religious beliefs than them. These three young men were kind of not liked. Do you know what it means to not be liked? People didn't like them because of their background. Have you ever had people not like you because of where you're from? Your background? Well, they knew what it was like. And they weren't liked because of that. And they had a very interesting scenario. They became popular with the leadership of the country, and they climbed the ladder rapidly. And before long, they were in top leadership positions in the country. Immigrants, not liked, in a country that didn't have the same religion they did, and they're at the top. And then something happened. The king of the country, by the name of Nebuchadnezzar, made a very interesting decree. You see, he had seen this incredible statue in a vision, and Daniel had explained everything to him. And when he saw it, he thought, I hear what you say, that the head is gold and the chest and arms and silver and the belly and thighs of bronze and the legs of iron and the feet of iron and clay. I understand they each mean different countries and kingdoms, but I think that my country is going to last forever. In fact, he even said it in chapter 4 of Daniel, if you've ever read it. So he decided to prove it with a statue, and he built a statue made out of solid gold. And then he had three young men defy him. Very interesting story. He tells everyone, when you hear the sound of the music, then you know it's time for you to bow down and worship the idol that I have set up. So the music plays. The Bible doesn't tell us that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down. Do you know who tells us? their enemies. Their enemies come more. Nebuchadnezzar, didn't you make a decree? Anytime someone does that, you know that they're fishing for something. Didn't you say this? And he said, yes. Or they are three Jews. Now, why did he say Jews? Immigrants, right? Three people are not of us. And they've decided that they're not going to worship what you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar gets angry, and what does he do? Calls them to come in. And then he tries to do the same thing that the general did to William Cleveland. He said, you know what? I'm just going to pretend this didn't happen. Okay, this is my chance to give you an opportunity. Could you just go out and do what I've asked you to do, okay? Just go ahead and worship the image, my image that I set up. He says, my image that I set up. He makes it clear it belongs to him. Do this as a favor for me, okay? I like you, you're high officials, but you need to do what I've asked you to do. And then they make that statement, Daniel chapter 3. Beautiful statement, a statement that you and I can make when we get into temptation. It's the same response that William Cleveland made. Daniel chapter 3, it says this. We are not careful, or we're not worried about how we answer you. We are not going to worship the idol that you set up. If God wants to deliver us, he will. But if not, we'll die. We will not do what you have asked us to do. Nebuchadnezzar heats the furnace 7 times hotter, throws them in. And I'd like to ask you what takes place next. Because this is the whole focus of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, at least at this point. Yes, sir. Well, okay, yeah, I forgot about the part. The soldiers die, right? So they throw them in. The soldiers die because it's so hot. Nebuchadnezzar is staring in, and then what has happened? That's right. Thank you. So you have those three men. They're in there. And obviously when they're thrown in, that they were all tied up. I don't know how they were tied up, but they were thrown in tied up. And now it's all gone. And they're walking about in the nice, balmy weather of the furnace. Yes? Now, sometimes I've heard, what is that? At least it's not. This is Janet Everett. At least it's not. I mean, they could have said that in the furnace, right? At least it's, they're in the furnace and they're roasting and it's 7 times hotter than it's ever been, but they are relaxed. When it gets hot here at camp, you can just say, at least it's not the furnace in Nebuchadnezzar's time, right? At least it's not. But they're in there, and they are not stressed out. I don't even know if they're sweating. The Bible doesn't tell us. But they're having a conversation. They're having a conversation with another person. And who is that person? Jesus. That's right. Nebuchadnezzar says, the fourth looks like the Son of God. And it was Jesus walking with them. When you are in difficult times, when you are in trials, when you're troubled on every side, when you're perplexed, when you're persecuted, when you're cast down, the good news is if you have the treasure with you, you never have to be scared. You never have to be worried because Jesus is with you. Jesus with you doesn't say you won't be persecuted. But Jesus with you is one of the best places to be. It's better to be with Jesus in the furnace than to be without Jesus next to Nebuchadnezzar. You got that? It's better to be with Jesus where? In the furnace than to be without him next to Nebuchadnezzar. The story doesn't end there. Nebuchadnezzar, after all this happens, he says something that he did not say after the prophecy in Daniel 2. And Daniel, too, after that incredible prophecy and Daniel read his mind, he said, truly, you have a great God. And then he honored Daniel. But now here's what he says. Daniel, your God is, let me see if I get this here in verse 29. Let every people, nation, language that speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces. Now, of course, I don't agree with that mindset. But he did come to this realization. Their God is a better God. Did he get it from the prophecy? Not necessarily. Where did he get it from? Seeing Jesus among the persecuted people of God. When you are persecuted, it's then that Jesus is seen. It's when life is difficult that Jesus sometimes has the clearest picture. You are an earthen vessel. We know that. But when Jesus is in us and life is difficult, that's when he can be seen. Some of you tonight probably are thinking of how great camp is, and I'm so happy for that because it is great and I'm having a great time. But sometimes you may think about, you know, I have to go back and life isn't great when I go back. Life might be difficult. Or maybe some of you are thinking, I'm stressed out about this or I'm stressed about that. I'm perplexed. I would like you to know that when you honor God in those times, that's when God is seen in you. That's when it's really special and God can do great things through you. I want to have Jesus seen in me. I want to be with Jesus and I want to be where he is at. How about you? Can we pray and ask him for that? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask tonight that we would have the courage to be with you because you're with us when the things are difficult. We ask that you would hide in us and be the treasure in our earthen vessel. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen.